now. Eternal Rock of Ages, we thank you for this day that you, the Lord, had made. We thank you because we know today you are going to make us glad. We trust, Lord, that whatever problems we brought here will not go back with us. We know that this day is a day we will remember for the rest of our lives. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Today, in a very special way, visit your children. Bless us. In a very, very dramatic way, transform our lives. At the end of everything, let your name be glorified. Save souls, Lord. Heal the sick. Set the captives free. Glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I have several reasons to be glad. One of which is that I'm back on home grounds. This used to be my home, as it were. For several years, I drove through the gates of the University of Lagos. I was a student here, did my master's here, my PhD here. Then I was a lecturer for years. It was here I first heard anything about the gospel. It was here I first heard the call into the ministry. So quite a lot of things happen here. So I feel delighted that I'm back home. But then if anybody had ever told me that a branch of the Divine Center of God would be meeting here to celebrate, I would have said, well, with God, all things are possible. Well, we are seeing it today. And I'm believing that God will do something special here today in Jesus' name. I'm also glad because the brother who shared the vision seemed to have put it in a clinical language. Maybe because he's a medical doctor. And probably the next best fellow to be a mathematician is a doctor. He did a very nice job and I'm delighted. I'm also delighted that the Almighty God will do something special in your life today, whether you like it or not. And because anniversary days come once a year, and I'm here this year, only God knows when I'll be here again because I wasn't around during the first anniversary, I felt also that we shouldn't waste the few minutes we were going to spend together. So we'll be discussing something that we will not forget. Is that okay by you? Somebody said a good sermon is a sermon you enjoy, but a great sermon is a sermon you don't forget. And the great sermons normally don't last long. For example, the Sermon on the Mount lasted 15 minutes, and we are still remembering it today. I pray that God will give us a great sermon today. Because the theme of the anniversary, of our anniversary, forgive me, is in God's presence. And as somebody said, quoting Psalm 16 verse 11, in the presence of the Lord, there is joy, fullness of joy. And on his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Well, so turn our Bibles therefore to Isaiah chapter 6 and see what happened to somebody who entered into the presence of the Lord. And we'll see whether it is true that in his presence there is fullness of joy. Whether on his right hand we have joy or pleasures forevermore. Isaiah chapter 6. I will read from verse 1 to 8.
In the other king, Uzziah, died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above his two, the seraphims, each one has his wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I pray that you will see the King today. There flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. We are just starting a series on this section that I've read to you at the headquarters. We don't know how long it will take us, maybe 3 months. But we just want to kind of give you a kind of concentrated bit of it today that you could go on adding water to it week by week for some time to come. When you enter into the presence of the Almighty God, you are likely to see certain things. And certain things are likely to happen to you. Today, we will just look at seven of them very quickly because of time. The first thing, of course, that you will see when you enter into the presence of God is God himself. I mean, otherwise we will be calling in the presence of God. If you do not see God, you have not entered into his presence. And when you see God, the first thing you will discover about him, that is after somehow you have been able to adjust to the tremendous glory of the Almighty, is that you will see that God is holy. I mean, you can see here the song the angels were singing. Is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We know God is love. They could easily have said, loving, 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 Lord God Almighty. We know God is powerful. I mean, it is written. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. So they easily have said, powerful, powerful, powerful is the Lord God Almighty. They will be correct. We all know that God is merciful. In fact, the Bible tells us that his mercy endures forever. The Bible says his mercy is higher than the clouds. The Bible says he is rich in mercy. So they easily have said, merciful, merciful, merciful is the Lord God Almighty. But they left all those behind because if you ask the Almighty God, give us one word by which you want to be remembered, he would have given you the word holy. So they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now God is holy. Absolutely holy. And the Bible tells us that his holiness is not just for a while, it's forever. It's perfectly holy. It's holy yesterday, holy today, holy tomorrow. And the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, James 1, verse 17, it said, all good gifts and all perfect gifts come down from above, from the Father of lights. In whom there is no variableness or shadow of
Study. In other words, there is no possibility of God ever becoming 1% less holy than he is now. So the first thing you will see when you enter into the presence of God is you will see God and you will see him as a holy God. That's number one. That's important. The next thing you will see, of course, will be yourself. Because as you see the holy God, then you turn and look at yourself. And unfortunately, what you will see is not what you think. Because the average man believes that he's good. I mean, if I ask anybody here who thinks that he's a bad man or bad woman to raise his hand or his or hand, if there's anybody who will respond to that one, we will send that fellow for deliverance. Because basically we think we are good. You know, that's one of the reasons why we are surprised when we fail exams. Because when you are writing down the examination, you think you are putting down the correct thing. It is the teacher who will say, no, this is not what I taught you. And I've seen several of my children come to me and say, don't mind them. They failed me. And I always smile. Maybe because I was a teacher for a long time, I said, they didn't fail you, you failed yourself. But in the real sense of the word, when they ask a question and you are putting down the answer, you are convinced beyond all doubts that what you are putting down is correct. Everybody thinks it's good, holy. Well, not too bad, as it were. Until you come into the presence of the thrice holy God. Then you see yourself as God sees you. Which is one of the prayers I've always asked some of my left-hands to pray. This is not a prayer that I want everybody to pray because if God answers the prayer, it will be embarrassing. God, let me see myself as you see me. I'm never going to try that prayer. Amen. May he answer your prayers.
How the apostle said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Romans 7, verse 18. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's a very courageous man. He said, in me, except for the Spirit of God that is inside, minus that one, every other thing, no good. And when of course you remember that the Bible says all our righteousness is like filthy rags before the Almighty God, you will understand. But then, it's the good news that at least once in a while, when you go into the presence of God, you can see yourself as God sees you. That's the second thing you will see. And you will see the reason why it will bring you joy later. Because the Bible says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. At least one of the things is that you discover your secret where there is nobody else present, except God. And maybe God will show you all your problems before you get to the showroom, in the workshop where things can still be modified. I think that's good news. The kind of shame that will be difficult to bear is when you are exposed in public. And unfortunately, the day is coming when we will all be exposed in public. That's the day of judgment. But I pray that before that day, God would have done a good job with you and with me. Because on that day, your mother will be there.
your father, your husband, or wife, all your friends, they will all be seated as we all come one by one before the judgment seat. And then they will play back our lives. And there's no worry here. You had me say that because there's no night there according to the word of God. It's one continuous day, so there's no worry. So it will take us one by one and pick every situation from the day we were born to the day we die and show it. The good news is that those of us who are born again, everything that happened before we became born again will not be there. I think that's good news. That is good news. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sins. Which is the reason why you are here today and not yet born again. There's no better opportunity than today. Because everything you've done up to today, if you give your life to Jesus Christ today, it will be forgotten. God will just wipe it away. The computer of God will show it on that day. But from the day you are born again now, that's a different matter. The story will become new. Anyway, I prefer that God will call me into his secret room and show me, Adeboye, this is wrong. We can't take that. Members of your church must not see this. And then we take care of the situation over there in secret before I come out. Then to come here, standing before you, regarded as a holy man, and then the Spirit of God came on someone, and he said, "Thus says the Lord." Thank God in his presence. Just for the fun of it. And then we will talk almost all night. And then one of us was getting married. And the rest of us, the two of us, wanted to be there, And one got there before me. And when I arrived, like we used to do, this second friend of the fellow who was getting married was running up and down, bringing me, "What will you eat? What will you drink? Oh, you're welcome. We'll be waiting for you." And all of a sudden, God spoke to me and said, "He's lying." I shook my head. Who is talking? We sleep on the same bed. Lord said he's lying. What do you mean? Lying about what? All this running up and down that he's doing for you, he does not even love you. I said, that can't be true. But then God, I'm sure you know things. So, of course, you know, immediately I lost my joy. I couldn't help it, so I called the top fellow, the fellow who was getting married, after the marriage, because we stayed behind. I didn't want to spoil his own joy. "This is what God told me concerning Pastor so and so." And he said, "Don't listen to the devil." How can that be true? And then I said, "That's what I thought too." I said, "But I know that voice. It's not the voice of the devil. He's been talking to me now for some time." Anyway, we called the third fellow. My friend, this is what God said. He said, "Abba. Even if you hear that in your dream." I said, "Forget it, Jerry. Something was wrong with me." Right? It didn't take long. Just a year later, the situation occurred when I went to visit him. And when we were talking, he made a statement and said, "I have hated you since 75. When you go to the presence of the Almighty God, he will show you what the world is like. Then you understand why he says in 1 John chapter 2, from verse 15 to 17, he said, "Love not the world." 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
For if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you.
And all the things that are in the world, they will perish with the world.
And in fact, he puts it in another way, in James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, verse 4, he said, love of the world is enmity with God.
It takes someone who has been in the presence of the Almighty God to be able to look at the whole world and say, rubbish. But Pastor, we need all this to show. Cars, houses, this, that, we need them, but
how many of them will help us on the day of death? The Bible says there's no powerful man on the day of death. Remember when one of my great uncles died? I was visiting one Kabisi, and he said, when I heard that Chief So-So died, then I knew that the Almighty God is truly Almighty. I said, what do you mean? He said, if there's any man who could buy off death, that man should be able to do it. Unfortunately, you can't ride death. And when the day of death comes, you can't take anything with you. When you are in the presence of the Almighty God, you will be able to look back and understand why Paul said, all things that were given to me, I count them for dung, that I may win Christ. Because when the day comes to go through the valley of the shadow of death, only one person will go with you. His name is Jesus.
And then, when you enter into his presence, the fourth thing that you will discover is that there is help for you.
There is help for you from above.
Because Isaiah said here, after he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among people of unclean lips, he didn't ask for anything else, he just made a discovery of himself and of the people around him, and immediately help came. An angel took a life coal from the altar, brought it, and used it to touch his lips. That's not a very pleasant experience, though. If you think it's pleasant, when you get to take a piece of hot coal, just touch your lips. Come back and tell me how it is. But in the very moment of touching his lips, God spoke and said, from now on, you are clean. And that's part one of the series. You can get it from the headquarters. I don't want to go into that details. Simply says, until your lips are clean, your prayers might not be answered. Because the prayers might not get to heaven, since they will be contaminated as they are going through your lips. Even your praises might not be acceptable because they are contaminated as they are going through your lips. And what do we do with our lips? More than anything else, it's lying. Little ones, not big ones. Because we are born again. And we sit telling, you know, just a little business lies. And you know some lies are white. You see, the black ones we dodge, but the white ones, only God will not accept anyone. White, black, green, or blue. Anyway, help. There is help. That's, to me, that's the beginning of joy in his presence. That when I know deep within myself something is wrong with me, because if I pray and I don't get an answer, there's nothing wrong with God. God is always there. He's always at home. He doesn't trouble. If I cry, and the answer doesn't come, something is wrong with me.
I know it's not easy to accept, but that's always true.
If he says, ask, and you shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. And I ask, and I am not given. And I seek, and I don't find. And I knock, till my hands are tired of knocking, and the doors refuse to open. When I know that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled, the problem is not with God, it's with the devil. But when I have discovered something is wrong with me, I'm not getting through. My answers are not coming the way I expect them to come. I know what I can do. I go into his presence. When I go into his presence, I will see him in all his glory. I will see myself and discover what is it that is wrong with me. And help will come from above. I pray God will help you today, Jesus. That's what he said, I lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11, verse 28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Come into my presence. Come with your burdens. Come with your troubles. Come with your failures. Come with your sorrows. Come with your worries. And I'll give you rest.
Help will come.
There's no doubt about that. If you can manage to enter into his presence, it's a fearful thing to do. But if you can get there, in spite of all the embarrassment that you suffer there, if you can just get there, when you return, you'll be different. Because help will come from above. The fifth thing that will come, of course, that will happen, is after he has helped you now, he will now give you an invitation. An invitation to become part of his dream. You know, he said to Isaiah, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? In other words, I have a plan. And I'm looking for somebody who will be part of that plan.
It's as if God says, I have a dream. And I'm looking for people who will share in the dream.
And brother just shared a little bit with us of the vision. That's the way we put it. And the one who was doing the introduction said, you must have received what you were sharing with us from somebody.
Yes.
By the grace of God, I shared it with him. But where do you think I received it from? It's not from the righteous of living lamp. I received it from someone too. Because when you enter into his presence, if you make a habit of going to his presence, after he has exposed you, shown you your weaknesses, and one of the reasons he shows you your weaknesses is so that he can help and sort out the problem, so that when you enter into his dream, your weaknesses will not destroy his dream. He will give you an invitation. After he is cleansed, he will say,
would you like to be part of my dream? For example, would you like to walk with me? Because the Bible says we are laborers together with him. And believe me honestly, there's no better thing you can do in life than to be part of God's dream.
Like our brother said, you have to remove your fry pan to take the dream that God will share with you, because it will be so big that a fry pan will be able to contain. Thank you for that beautiful story. You will hear me tell it again. And I will give you credit for it, so that if it was a lie,
Hallelujah. The same thing that will happen to you, of course, if you can just manage to enter into His presence, is that you will discover the real purpose for your life. The real purpose for your life will be discovered nowhere else except in the presence of the Almighty God. Because after He has said unto you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. In the following verse 29, He says, put my yoke upon you. Let's become partners. But if we are going to be partners, we need to know who is going to be the senior and who is going to be the junior. Put my yoke upon you, learn of me. Let's do things together. And then, all of a sudden, you will know the reason why you've been born, the reason why you had all the education you had, the reason why your grandma is better than mine, probably because he's going to send you to America, while he will let me stay with the market woman here who can understand my own simple language. You will discover the purpose for your life. And believe me honestly, anyone who discovers the real purpose of his life from that day onward, you will have fullness of joy. Because you will stop beating about the bush. Because you know where you are going. And so you will not be distracted. I know why He has called me. I know why I came into the world. That's absolutely clear now. That's why nobody can come to me now, for example, and say, we like you, so we want you to be the governor of Lagos State. I'm just too crazy. Are you crazy? Oh, no. We don't want you to spend your cover. We will spend all the money necessary, but you must be our next president. You are the only one who can lead Nigeria out of the present problem. So you are our man. We will vote en masse. You won't spend a couple. You don't even need to go to the campaign trail. Are you crazy? Why? Because I know my assignment. I know where I'm going. I pray you discover your purpose this morning in Jesus' name. Because the moment you know where you are going, it doesn't matter what is happening, you just be smiling. And once you know where you are going, it's like a footballer. You know what you want to do, you want to put the ball in that man's net. So you may want to first of all go a little to the right, and then a little to the left. But as you are moving, you are getting closer and closer to where? You know what you want to do. Of course, as you are going, there will be people who will give you stuff, there will be people who will do this, there will be some people who will be shouting at the gallery, but as far as you are concerned, that's not the important thing. The important thing is to take this ball and put it where? In the net. A man who knows the purpose of his life, and when I say man, I mean a woman too, you suddenly discover what they call fullness of joy. Because every other thing on the way will just be by the way. Oh, you buy a new car, you build a new house, they come and they repossess your car. You know those are just minor things. If you know your purpose, the question of, do I marry or do I not marry? Whether I have two children or three children, or four, or five, or if somehow the way I lose one or two, it will become immaterial because you know why you are here. And just you can only discover that in the presence of God. As the only place where I discover it. Remember some years ago, some people were struggling for a particular post, and among
children of God. And they came and they said, aren't you going to contest? I smiled. I don't see how that thing you are talking about will help me to get to my goal.
If it will, I will contest. If it will not, forget it.
In his presence, you discover the real purpose for your life. Or you may rediscover, because some people had known it before, but they lost it along the way, because they were distracted. I mean, like Moses. 40 years before, something within him told him, you're going to be a deliverer for the nation. And he thought it was going to be done by physical strength. He didn't know it was not going to be by power, by might, but by the Spirit of God. So he got somebody who was treating the Jews and gave him a big hook. All he wanted to do was knock the fellow out, but he killed the fellow. The second day he saw two Hebrews, what's wrong with you? Don't you know I'm your deliverer? And they said, who made you judge over us? If you knew it, we don't know it yet. So for 40 years, he was brushed aside, was forgotten. But one day, he came into the presence of God again. And God says, sir, you might have forgotten the vision, I have not forgotten. My now he said, no, God sent somebody else. God said, no, I don't change my mind that easily. I've chosen you. I wonder if you know that God has a special plan for your life. Are you really sure? Say amen.
Amen.
In Acts 26, from verse 13 to 16, Acts 26, the passage here that I love so much. Paul was telling the story of his conversion, of the day he came into the presence of God. He said as he was going to Damascus, he began to tell the story, let me read it from verse 13. He said, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. On the day that Paul got into the presence of God, very humiliated, no doubt, God knocked him down. He didn't know you have to cover your face when you are in his presence, so he was blind for 3 days, just for daring to look on the Almighty. But that very day, he discovered the purpose for his life. He discovered why God paid him in love. We were sharing in the Bible yesterday. I used to ask the Almighty God, God, when you knew I was going to be a preacher, why did you allow me to waste 27 years learning mathematics? But of course, because it's my daddy, he explained it to me. I came from the poorest of families. I can't think of any family poorer than mine. Because for the first 18 years of my life, I walked barefooted. And the day my father bought an umbrella, we danced. There. So that when I go to the mission field and I have to sleep on beds without mattresses, it's nothing new. Because for several years I used to sleep, the mat was banana leaf. So that's okay. But then it took me through the university because that was the only way
Because whether you are rich or not, if you have a big, you can go in and out with the high and mighty. So from the lowest somehow to the highest, so by the special grace I can talk to the lower, I can talk to the high. I can talk to the market women in their language. And once in a while I can talk to you people, men of timber and caliber, in your own language too. For a purpose. I pray that you will discover the purpose for your life today in Jesus' name. And then, the beauty of it is number seven. And that is this, that when you spend time in his presence, a little bit of his glory will rub off on you. A little bit of his glory will rub off on you. When you return from his presence, my people will look at you and they know you are different. The reason you are different, of course, is because all those things that you consider big problems before, that were weighing you down, that were causing you to frown, causing you to look uglier than you really are, will be gone. Suddenly you relax. Suddenly you know that all these things really don't matter. That what really matters is being in the... Suddenly you relax. Suddenly you know that all these things really don't matter. That what really matters is being in the perfect will of the Almighty God. And that my parents are saying this, my friends are saying that. Suddenly you find that, what's wrong with these people? Why can't they see what I am seeing? You discover. Suddenly they see a beauty in you that wasn't there before. I mean, you know this story. It is there in Exodus 34, from verse 29 to 34. Exodus 34, from 29 to 34. Moses had been in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. And somebody said, oh, Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. If you are in the presence of God, will you remember food? Ask those who have been given the special grace to fast for a long period. If you have been fasting for 30 days without food, I mean absolutely no food, and you I've made up your mind that you are going to break on the 40th day. I'm telling you, each time you think of the day of breaking, you have a little sorrow. Because all of a sudden, Eva becomes like a dog's vomit. Padelian, oh God, junk. Because after you reach that level, you have been fed from heaven. Now can you then imagine somebody who's been in the presence of the Almighty God for 40 days and 40 nights? When was this coming? Aaron and the relatives saw him and ran. And Moses was wondering, what's happening? Why are you running from me? Because his face was shining. The glory of God has permeated his skin. He had to get a piece of cloth and say, oh, sorry. And then he covered his face. Then they could come near. But whenever he's going to the presence of God again, he will remove the veil so that it could be more glorified. Brethren, I want to encourage you to come along with me to the presence of God this morning. I know it is not an easy thing to do. And as you will discover, when people go into his presence, they don't ask for anything. In the passage we read, the angels were just worshipping. What were they saying? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's all they were saying. Nobody asks for anything in his presence. You just go there to worship. Well, why should it be so difficult to go and worship him? Well, because the Bible says in Exodus 15 verse 11, he said, his glorious in holiness
fearful embraces. Even when you are praising him, you should tremble a little. But the beauty of it is this, that if only you can go there and do nothing but worship.